Our worship theme for this month of March is redemption. And so I wonder how you hear that word. What does redemption evoke for you? You know, the theme of redemption runs through every faith tradition. Prophets and teachers from every age, from Isaiah to Martin Luther King Jr., have called people to come to their senses, to turn from what is wrong or foolish, to remember who they are and lead lives of worth and dignity. But too often, I fear, redemption is seen as something that gets done to you. Like all you have to do is say some magic words or perform some ritual act, and then you're good. Kind of like in the movies. But that makes no sense to me at all, and it's not how life works, right? Redemption isn't something that's done to us. It's something we have to choose and participate in. And this work can take a long, long time. There are moments, of course, when you wake up and you realize something has got to change. The prodigal child, whose story we told this morning, one day she finally comes to her senses and realizes that a better life could be found somewhere else. Back at home, and she starts to head back that way. The poet Mary Oliver says, "One day you finally knew what you had to do and began, though the voices around you kept shouting their bad advice." Anybody else know what that feels like? Sometimes the voices are outside, and sometimes they're right in here. For some of us, one day you realize that you were powerless over alcohol or drugs or overeating, and maybe you knew nothing about it, but you headed off to a meeting, and that changed your life. You'd probably say that that moment of turning was a key moment, but that what has saved you was that you kept going back to those meetings, walking the walk one day at a time. Redemption is a choice that you have kept on making. Mahmoud Mustafa Ayub, who is an Islamic scholar, says this idea of redemption is as old as humanity itself. He writes, "Everywhere we go, there is this idea of life coming out of death, healing the world, healing nature after a period of sickness or cessation. What is redemption? It comes from the Latin root meaning to be whole. Redemption is not achieved by or through ideas or doctrines, but through the lives and sacrifices of human individuals. Our problem has been, to a large extent, that we have taken far too seriously doctrines and theological wranglings and not seriously enough the lives and the models, the examples of the friends of God." We've just entered the season of Lent, for those of you who pay attention to such things. The 40 days, if you don't count the Sundays, that lead up to Easter. Lent is supposed to be a season of preparation for the new life that Easter promises. Lent is meant to be a time of walking in the shadows while getting ready for the coming of the light. But too often, this season of penitence, this time of taking an honest accounting of oneself, is reduced to small things like giving up chocolate or swearing. Who would want to do either of those things? I do suppose that giving those things up could be a helpful spiritual practice if you actually reflected deeply on your hunger and on the ways you project your anger out onto others in our world. But I think the real invitation of this season is to go more deeply than giving up something that's relatively trivial. I think the invitation is to reflect more deeply on our own lives, to ask what in me needs to change so I might lead a more healthy and abundant life, so that I might do less harm and more good. In our first reading this morning, you heard the prophet Isaiah, who loved to criticize empty religious rituals and pious people. And he wrote way back then, "Is this not the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin, then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly." I took my sermon title today from that great man, Nelson Mandela, who called his autobiography Long Walk to Freedom. And it's unlikely that any of us will ever walk a path anywhere near as dramatic as the one that Nelson Mandela walked. But aren't we each called in our own particular lives to make our own pilgrimage, our own long walk to freedom? Mandela said, "There is no easy walk to freedom anywhere. And many of us will have to pass through the valley of the shadow of death again and again before we reach the mountaintop of our desires." That's why faith traditions have these seasons, times for being in the shadows and times for living in the light. Because that's what our lives are like, right? As much as we might wish it otherwise, we will find ourselves from time to time walking in the valley of the shadow of death, where the only way out is through. I know that most of you don't observe Lent, at least not in the traditional ways, but I want to commend to you this month and this season, this time for reflection, of seeking inside yourself. Because I do believe this season, when the winter is slowly giving way, some weekends more slowly than others, and the light is gradually and steadily returning, this is a perfect time to contemplate our own lives and make an honest accounting and see if there are habits that we should give up or that we should take on. What if you decided to see these weeks leading up to Easter as a time to make your own long walk to freedom? Wouldn't that be a worthy Lenten practice? I truly believe that the reason we have religion and spirituality is to help us to be free. But when I say freedom, I'm not talking about that kind of immature freedom that says, "You're not the boss of me." You've seen examples of that asserted as freedom, right? And I'm not talking about that kind of self-centered freedom that says, "I can do whatever I want, and I don't even have to worry about how it affects anyone else." No, what I'm talking about is liberation, the kind of freedom that comes from knowing where you stand, knowing who you are and whose you are. The kind of freedom Isaiah was talking about, when you know you are here not only for yourself, but also for others, working to loose the bonds of injustice so others will be free too. If you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. In psychological terms, Isaiah is saying we have to learn to set aside our own egos, enough so that we also have a healthy concern for others. And doing this is what will set us free. I believe we each have our own particular callings, ways that we are meant to live. And the invitation is to hear those callings and then to follow where they lead. Of course, this is easier said than done. Once you know what you have to do, then you have to start doing it. Nike was on to something, right? Just do it. But it's not that simple. Change is hard. Mary Oliver says there will be resistance around us and within us when we start. One day you finally knew what you had to do and began, though the voices around you kept shouting their bad advice, though the whole house began to tremble and you felt the old tug at your ankles, "Mend my life," each voice cried. But you didn't stop. You knew what you had to do, though the wind pried with its stiff fingers at the very foundations, though their melancholy was terrible. This is no selfish journey that she's talking about. It will take you deeper into the world, deeper into relationships with others. It will take you to places you did not plan to go. The question is, for each of us, are you going to take this journey of liberation and transformation? I put words from that esteemed theologian, Ice-T, at the top of our order of service today, trying to be current. He said, redemption just means you just make a change in your life and you try to do right versus what you were doing, which was wrong. It's not always that black and white, but simple is good sometimes. The UU congregation in Flint, Michigan, they created this poster that articulates our faith this way. It says, you are good. You are loved. You could use a little work. We are in this together. Some of you have already signed up for the class we're offering here that starts on March 14th called Being White in a Racist World. It's about helping white people understand they have a racial identity too, and how to live with authenticity and integrity in a society that tends to deny that fact. And so I commend this to you. And also these days, we've been wondering around here how we might respond as a congregation to the challenges facing immigrants in our community and our nation. There's a growing movement of churches who are offering sanctuary to people who are at risk of being deported. And we're starting to wonder, is this our calling too? In the coming weeks, we'll be having a community conversation about this here, and about ways to encourage and support more grassroots social justice work. And so look for that. This month, my question for you is, will you be open to the ways that you might need to change, the ways you might need to be redeemed? How will you respond to this invitation that lies before us to set off on this long walk to freedom? Is this the time that you have been waiting for and preparing for? It was already late enough, and a wild night, and the road full of fallen branches and stones. But little by little, as you left their voices behind, the stars began to burn through the sheets of clouds, and there was a new voice, which you slowly recognized as your own, that kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the only life you could save. The good news is, as you undertake this journey, as you change the only life you can change, you will help to heal and bless our world. You will find companions for the journey and blessings on the way. On the long walk to freedom, may this be our prayer and our song. Ever singing, march we onward. Amen.